have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And God says, my king is going to be on my mountain, my holy hill of Zion. And so John looks up here in the midst of all this chaos, all this negative. People are bowing down and they're worshiping the Antichrist. Hard to imagine. Well, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But all of that is taking place, and John looks up, and there's the Lamb of God, Jesus, on Mount Zion. And now we're talking victory. Okay, so where we're, again, we're in a tribulation where it seems like everything is chaos and it's all bad. Wait a minute, here's Jesus. And I want to remind you, the seventh trumpet announced Jesus, and John looks up, and there he is. I want to remind you, I don't care how bleak it may seem in your life. I don't care how nasty all the circumstances are around you, and you may be surrounded with yuck. Amen? You can always look up through the clouds, through the fog, through the mist, and you can see Jesus on Mount Zion. We win, folks. We are more than conquerors. And that's, to me, one of the great things about the Bible is, okay, God, I think I've taken about all I can. All right, well, I'm going to let you just see Jesus for a while. And that seems to happen over and over in the book of Revelation. Anyway, Psalm 132 is another passage talking about Mount Zion. And so here we are somewhere in the midst, going toward the other side of the tribulation. John sees the Lamb of God on Mount Zion. And he knows the king is coming. He knows it is soon. He knows that this thing, you know, it's about over with. Praise God. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Isn't that good? I imagine John, as he sees the Lamb on Mount Zion, he knows this verse. Rest is coming. Isn't that great? This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Well, I wish God's people would learn how to shout for joy and be excited about the things of God. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. And there's the Lamb on Mount Zion. Praise God. Praise God. I think it's interesting. It's a lamb. Jesus, what is going to encourage the Christian the most? It's the Lamb. The Lamb slain. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb that died on a cross to pay for our sins. The perfect, spotless Son of God that died for us so we could be saved. Oh yeah, to see the Lamb as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's triumph is certainly near. And John has to wonder, when is this going to end? Remember the announcement? How long? How long? How long? How long? There's the Lamb. Oh yeah, the King's coming. The King's coming. I want to tell you, folks, honestly, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know this. I know the Lamb is on Mount Zion. I know that is going to take place, and triumph is sure. And so I don't know how long for me. I'm 55 years old. Let's say Brenda and I have got it figured out. We're going to live to be 100, and we're both going to die on the same day, same time, holding hands, just go to heaven. And so if Jesus doesn't come, that's 45 years from now. And so I know I got about 45, well, I think I got about 45 more years, unless the rapture takes place. How long? I really don't know. Could be tomorrow. Amen. Rapture could take place. Or the Malaysian jet could fall out of the sky. They'll find it in my front yard with me under it. I don't know, but I do know this. I know where I'm going. We win. We win. You're not going to lose if you're saved, and we win. And John, can you imagine John looking up and seeing the Lamb on Mount Zion, knowing what it means, and him not just going, praise God. Amen. I mean, God's triumph is near. And so in spite of all of humanity now has crowned Antichrist as the king. Doesn't that make you sick? I mean, it just is sickening to think about that. Antichrist, the one who is opposite of Christ, the one who hates our guts, hates everything about us, and they have crowned Antichrist king. Oh, but the Lamb, he's taken his place on Mount Zion as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will not bow to any. And he takes his place in heaven, and soon he'll take his place on earth, because again, we're getting close to the end. Amen. Let's have the ushers come. Boy, it's good timing. Amen. Dig for that money. But let's go ahead and you guys go ahead and do that. I'm going to keep going. You know, many of the Psalms talk about that, as I already read. But look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Isaiah 2, 2. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spoons into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That day's coming, folks. One of these days, there won't be any wars. There won't be any rumors of wars. There won't be any hate. There won't be, you know, the lion lays down with the lamb, and there's not going to be any violence. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I'm going to have a great big lake, chocolate lake, in the back of my property. I'm going to have a real lake of water, and then I'm going to have a chocolate lake. And you're welcome to come drink out of my lake of chocolate. And, praise God, there won't be any sugar problems. Nobody's going to have diabetes. Nobody's going to have arthritis. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If it snows, it'll still be 75 degrees. Oh, won't it be wonderful? You know, you say, I like to ski. Praise God. Hope you can ski with your T-shirt. Amen. Because I don't think, you know, unless you like cold weather, maybe you like it to be 20 below zero. Then maybe you'll be in a little bubble. I have no idea. We're just going to be happy. It's going to be good. Anyway, you say you're in a good mood. It's hard to understand. John has just seen slaughter, death, everything, but he sees Jesus on Mount Zion. And to him, that's like saying, it's soon. It's soon. I've been with too many folks just before they go to heaven. I've been with them. I've seen their eyes. And they're looking up. In fact, Virginia was telling about her mom. Just did the funeral a couple weeks ago, and she said she's looking up. And you know, and when people that are about to go to heaven start looking up, you know, you want to, you know, they're looking. They don't can't you see it? Can't you see him? And they start naming people. You know, can't you see him? I've many times I've looked. No, I don't see. But they see him. There's the angels. There's Jesus. You know, and boom, they're gone. You know, with a big smile on their face. Come on, folks. Listen. It can be, the snow can all have black stuff on it like it does, you know, and it all, I'm discouraged, depressed. But I got, spring's coming. You know, it's not going to be long. Spring's going to come. And we'll celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And because he lives, we live. I'm excited. Look at Revelation 7, verse 3. I got to hurry. And by the way, in heaven, time is not going to matter. Revelation 7, verse 3. You remember this, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes, the children of Israel. Remember the 144,000 and the seal? Notice chapter 14:1, it talks about that seal again, and it says, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Well, now we know what their seal is, don't we? They have their father. What do you suppose it says, I am? You know, Jehovah? I don't know. But it just, wow, that's so good. The name of the Father. Now again, what's the Antichrist? Oh, he has 666. What's six? Remember we talked about it? Just what? Less than seven, right? Six is always less than seven. Can't change it. Nothing you can do about it. Six is always less than seven. Six is never going to be seven. Can't be seven. You know, six is the number of man. And man, as long as he stays a six, he dies and goes to hell. But if he puts on the righteousness of Jesus Christ by calling on the Lord to save him, oh, now he has seven. Amen. How are you going to get to heaven? You're going to say seven. That's how you get to heaven. Somebody says, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Yes. Well, if Peter met you, and I don't think Peter meets you at the gate, and he says, why should I let you in? You can say, you know what? Because I put on the robe of seven. Amen. Because I put on the robe of Jesus. He died on the cross to pay for my sin. And when I got saved, he covered me with seven. I'm not a six anymore. Now I'm a seven. Boy, that's good stuff. I could just preach on that, but I'm running out of time. Anyway, so the 144,000, they have the name of the Father. All the people, so many people on the earth, they've taken that 666. And that 666, it'll never be 777. Can't be. Can't be. And so in contrast, we come to verse 2, and we're going to stop. But verse 2, I heard a voice from heaven. A voice from heaven, a sound. And we'll talk about that next week. We got to stop because we have run out of time. And I don't want to get in trouble. Amen.